Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, this is Chad Daniels, and you have landed in the middle of somewhere. Hello. Thank you for coming back. Thanks for checking in. Thanks for listening. Across from me, as always, is the lovely and marine layer hoodied Cyrus Amundsen.
Hello, Chad. Does my nose look swollen to you?
But I can't wait to hear why you may be asking me that.
I have a
Jenna.
I have a narrow, crooked... Yeah, Jenna has had enough. And we're not going to joke about that, Chad, because that's not a funny topic. She started hitting me in the face. Chad, here's what's going on.
Timeout. Is any sort of spousal abuse a funny topic? Absolutely not. Is Jenna punching you specifically in the face funny? It would be my greatest thing. Oh, she laughed. Good. Okay.
Oh, now people are going to think that's Jenna. We have one of our favorite people as a guest. And we are
tricksters.
You just set them up to be let down. So here's what's going on with my nose.
Okay.
I took 3 consecutive at-home COVID tests.
Oh.
And I want to throw my nose in a river because it feels horrific. So
did you have to, is this one of these where you put the cotton swab in and you swish it around for 15 seconds each nostril and then you put it in a little plastic test tube?
Yeah, and I apparently got the one where they're like, we think COVID is on the very bottom side of your brain. So if you could...
Yes.
If you could just dig a little brain hole and we'll tell you if you have COVID.
The first COVID test I got, the original one where they did... They came running in like people that are going to throw a javelin or pole vault. I mean, they came running at you with it, up your nose, and I forgot my daughter's name for 3 days.
By the way, I got my booster last week, and I have to get it in the thigh because my arms are all fucked up, you know? And
sure.
That's
not funny. Just the way you say it is so funny.
I was there. It was on the same weekend that they're like, hey, kids can get it. So it was me and so many kids in this auditorium, and they had the movie Cars playing up on the screen for all of us.
Yeah, they did. Get her down!
But this woman who injected it into my leg, I don't know if she thought, well, it's his leg. That's a lot further away from his head. So let's see if I can pierce the bone. And she jammed the needle into me so harshly that I've got... Probably a baseball. I've never had a bruise from a shot in my life, but I have like almost a baseball size bruise on my thigh. Obviously, COVID's a hoax. So back to my tests. I was feeling kind of some of the symptoms. I was tired, was having some runniness, some soreness, and there was something weird going on with my ability to taste. It felt like my taste was deadening. And it was my day to take my biologic medicine. So we're like, hey, we should be safe than sorry. So I go to CVS and I grab one of the tests, and what a bummer job to be the person who checks out the like somebody with the test. Like, you know, in movies where they do somebody finds somebody else's underwear and they hold it with like a go-go gadget arm. That's how I would check out people with COVID tests. So I get home and I scrape my skull and it comes back. Like, not a deep, thick line, but it comes back with a faint line, which is a positive. And I'm like, fuck. Well, there are such things as false positives. Let's take another one. So we re-ruin my nose. The second one comes back normal. And then, like, we can't shift when I take my biologic medicine, right? And I can't, if I do have COVID... I can't just dump an immunosuppressant into my body. We do that, and you're going to be holding a middle of somewhere in memory episode where you're just having a breakdown on episode where you're introducing yourself as Moose and then talking between me and your impression of me. I sure miss you, so I know you miss me, just fucking...
On a very special Ouija board edition of Middle of Somewhere.
Just people are writing in like, hey, Chad, I know it's hard, but this is 11 episodes of you pretending to do a podcast with your dead friend. So I have to go back.
Just use clips. Like you'd clip something together. You just going, oh, that's funny.
So I go back and Jenna's like, you just got to get one more test. So I get the third test and I bring it up to the counter and it's the same lady working. And I set it down and she looks me dead in the eyes and she goes, bro, you have COVID. And I don't think I do. She goes, you know how bitches be coming in here and they get a pregnancy test and then they go home and an hour later they come back and they get another pregnancy test? Bitch, you pregnant. And I was like, all right, well, I'm still going to buy this because you don't know the inner workings of my personal life. So I went home and we scraped my brain for a third time. And Jenna, actually, I was moving around the house and Jenna had the test sitting by her. And I just heard her from another room. And she goes, you're negative. And as I was walking down the stairs, I just said kind of to myself, bitch, you're pregnant. Like, I'm to the point where I'm losing my mind. And she goes, what the fuck did you... Like, she thought I said something shitty to her. But yeah, so I took three COVID tests and everything was okay. And I dumped the medicine into my body. And I'm excited to be here with you and our about-to-be-introduced wonderful guest.
Yeah, we are excited to have you here. And the end of that story sounds like maybe I was right and Jenna did punch you in the face. But that doesn't matter. Everyone, listen. You have heard me talk about our next guest in a what I'm going to call a lovely manner. I have, I've said it a million times, if I could wave a wand and make one person get to the beginning of the fame line, It is this person. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce to you Jackie Cation.
Yay! I feel welcome. I feel so welcome. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Sai, I'm glad you don't have the crud. I'm glad you don't have the horribleness.
I'm excited.
I had to take one of those disposable ones and I just didn't jam it up that much. I was like, there's plenty of nose stuff going on right here before I get to my brain. Why don't you have that?
Yeah.
And
I'm sure I did it extra because I was worried about not executing the tests correctly. So I'm
right. You want to do it right, and you're gonna do it a lot.
I love how you just
gotta buy them.
You waved it outside your nose, Jackie, like you were trying to put a spell on your nose.
Aerosols, yeah. Right? Isn't it all about aerosols? And I say my sister bought them in bulk. She bought like a case of them, the testing things.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so she didn't have to do it, but she misses out on that awesome story of that woman just going, "You are, I'm making $12 an hour. You're killing me.
Bitch,
here.
You pregnant?
Yeah, good for her."
A lot of people gained weight during lockdown, and I'll tell you, I was one of them. But it's because that's how I was doing my COVID test. I wouldn't put anything in my nose. I would just eat stuff, and if I could taste it, I knew I could go to parties.
I've recently been like. I never want to discuss my weight on stage, but I literally have been doing it lately because my head is on fire. Because I'm like, you got to lose this weight you gained in COVID, Jackie. You've always been on. And I'm like, why don't you just do it then? And you're like, well, why don't you shut up?
Yeah.
And so this is all happening internally. And then I'm like, are we even following Robert's rules? We're having a committee meeting. And why don't you shut it?
You have a chunk about the attempts you've made over the years to lose weight or to be pointy.
Oh, the pointy bit, yeah.
On I Am Not the Hero of This Story, your album. Mm-hmm. And it is, God damn it, it's funny. I mean, we're going to get into all that, but
Right.
Just excited to have you here. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Normally, we tell where we met our guest, and I believe you and I for the first time met in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Does that sound right to you?
I think we met at open mic, but I think the first time we really met was when you were you crawled into a bottle and decided that you were going to sing poorly like every night for 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah,
it was,
right.
I wanted that gig so bad.
You did?
And yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. He never hired any women, and me and Darlene Westcore and other people who wanted to really crawl into a bottle and get 7 days of stage time wanted that, because everyone who came back had a drinking problem, but also were really good at stand-up comedy.
Yeah. But do you hear how you just laughed and smiled?
Yeah.
That would have all gone away had you gone up there.
So this was the House MC gig in Grand Forks, right?
The House MC gig in Grand Forks, where
Westward Ho.
Where the I've never seen bus lights. I've never seen buses have to use their headlights both trips to and from school. There was a window of 3 hours of daylight.
Yeah.
From 11 to 2, and that was it. It was nasty.
I don't know why you didn't like the fact that the pool was shaped like a boot. The pool was shaped like a boot, Chad.
They didn't have a pool when I was there.
You know why? Because I think you went there after the one time that, you know how the Red River overflows every year?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Dave Mornell used to do this joke about how, because they fill bags with sand every year. And he's like, and they do it every year. And they do it by hand every year. And you're like, what do you think is going to happen this year, guys? I think we're going to have to fill sand. But anyway, so it was better.
Well,
than
yeah, because then it ends with, he goes, you ever seen a bag of sugar? You know, they have factories for that, right?
That's right. And so I was there the weekend that it, that they evacuated. I was headlining and I got a call on the Friday night and it said at the front desk, hey, we're evacuating. You don't have to.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, if you're leaving, I'm leaving. If you're not going to stay in your own hotel.
Yeah. That's the opposite. Like when locals are usually the one like, it's just a fucking hurricane. Relax, man. If locals are fleeing, it's time to run for the hills.
Yeah, and I remember.
Because they know things.
Yeah, I was living in Fergus Falls at the time, and I was a couple years before I did stand up, I think. So I don't know who's hosting that weekend. Do you remember? Was it Shannon McLaughlin?
It might have been Shannon. It might have been Isaac.
Okay.
I forget.
Because right before I remember when that flooded, because they kept the water lines on the wall. So when you went into restaurants, you're like, What is this red line? And they're like, that's how high the water was. And it's like, oh,
wow.
You guys are refusing to forget. This seems like a grudge. Seems like the painting called
right,
grudge.
And yet you continue to live here.
Yeah.
And just move. As my father told my brothers who wanted to join the service, he said, you know, you could just leave town. You don't have to enlist in anything and make $2.50 an hour. You can go anywhere and make $2.50 an hour.
Speaking of MCs, Chad, did you know that my first ever week in stand-up comedy ever paid was with Miss Jackie?
I did not know that.
First time ever getting paid.
That was it. And that was when I asked Lewis, why do you always do this? And I didn't. I don't think that was you. But at a certain point, it was every time I would come in, it would be some young comic's first week. Paid week. And finally I just said, why do I always get the first week? And he said, because you're not going to be a dick.
Oh, interesting.
You're going to be nice to
That's
them
true.
And you're not going to bust their balls about it, and it's going to be fine.
Did he, was that about 2004 that he had that conversation with you?
I don't know why.
Oh, because I think that's when I really saw a change in your attitude and you kind of became a dick.
Yeah, that's when it all changed. I got a message on, you know, because my Facebook page, somebody said that they really like my new album. It was literally the most obnoxious message I think I've ever gotten in my life. Where the hell
and
is it?
It was a compliment?
It's,
that takes a lot.
I just watched the whole gig. Jesus, Jackie, your act is getting strong. I'm trying to put my finger on it, but something is different. Confidence? No more nervous laugh? you look great. Your timing is perfect. Your writing is batshit crazy. I've always loved you, but you're looking more like the big boys. It's time for you to take off. I hope it happens. You deserve it. Hardworking. Love how you put Maria in there. That was sweet. And I replied, you're mixing me up with someone else. Because I wanted to say, I'm the goat. But then I remembered I was in my 50s. So I didn't say that.
I bet that was that was probably from like a young aspiring female comedian, probably.
I believe it was from a 37-year-old white dude.
Was it from me?
It might have
was
been
it literally from me?
It might have been. What I have to say is, when we met, Si, you were so funny, and I had a comment that was the reason I read that was because I had a compliment that was comparable to that shitty compliment to you, and it wasn't okay. But I said, why do you do stand up? You're very handsome. And you literally said back to me, you know, it's funny you said that, because until about 2 years ago, I was covered in acne, and then it all cleared up when I turned like 20. And I go, really? And you go, yeah. I said, how is it with the ladies right now? And you said, it's terrifying. And it was a great story. I love that.
Very accurate. You know how Abe, I think the best way I can describe it, it was how Abe Lincoln had that beard underneath his chin. Yes.
Yeah,
I had that, but
you.
It was zits on top of zits, and then they were also on the other parts of my face.
And yeah, it was you mentioned Abe Lincoln when you told me about it.
It's very easy to
And then my second
You've been doing that bit for that long? Jesus Christ.
Do you think somebody has such bad acne through high school that when they ask their high school crush out, they laugh at him and jog away? Do you think they let that story go? Do you think they let go of the Abe Lincoln quip when their face clears up?
There you go. My other favorite story is, and you will remember this, and I think I just told it to Chad a couple of weekends ago, which is an open mic probably 6 years ago at Acme. Uh-oh. Maybe more, whatever. I think it was like 10 years ago. I'm trying to pad it because I don't know how long you've been married.
Thousands
anyway, thousands of years.
It's all, so, it's, he's a legit human being, so you never have to pad.
Oh, good. Well, obviously.
I love you. Been in the
monster.
Business for so long that you have this comedian non-narc brain that's constantly doing math. Like, okay, hold on. So this story had to have taken place 7 years ago, but that doesn't seem right. Maybe I'll say 12. I'll say 12 years to make sure nobody gets in trouble.
I'll say 12 to not break his family. I'll say 12 to not break his family.
Well, it was an open mic, and you had gone to some party and gotten laid, and some woman wanted you to hit her.
Oh, yeah.
And you were like, yeah. And you're like, I'm not going to hit you. And she's like, come on, you pussy, hit me. And she literally, and so you tapped her, and she made fun of you. And then you finally, and the line was, I finally hit her. And it was a slap that belongs on a poster with the word no on it. And so now I've decided this is how I'm going to meet girls. Did you guys see that Lakers game last night? It was a really close game. Those are the games I like, is when nobody really dominates the game, when it's really like everybody's good at everything. Do you like it when somebody dominates somebody?
You know what's great about that lady? After you're done having sex with her in the morning, you know she's not off to a march.
She
will just be sleeping in.
Unless it's a QAnon
march.
Yeah,
she'll be sleeping in.
Yeah, that bit didn't make any of my albums, believe it or not.
I can't believe it. Speaking of albums, this is, listen. I listened to Before Staycation came out. And we're not going to do it all now, but I listened to I Am Not the Hero of This Story. And I texted you about it because people, I don't know if you've ever seen someone laughing on an airplane where you don't know what they're laughing at, but you start to wonder. You're like, huh. You know, because I get upgraded a lot, and I know I say that a lot and it sounds like a brag to the listeners, but I do. I get upgraded a lot because I have a million miles. I have literally a million miles. And so I get upgraded, and so when you're in first class, people look at me the way I'm dressed and the way I look laughing, and they go, oh, he bought this because he won't need money anymore after whatever he's about to do. And so people were staring.
He's going to hit somebody.
It is so freaking funny. And you know, I will say this, you're not getting good like that comment may suggest.
I was like,
it's not in process. You have gotten great. And
thanks, man. It's, and I'm getting better. I mean, I get it.
That's how it works.
And I hope to always do so. Right. That's how it works. I don't want to be one of those dinosaur comics who you're like, are you proud of doing your closer from 96? What's happening?
Yeah.
And I just worked with that guy. It was weird. And I have this to say about that guy. Nice stuff guy.
Yeah. You know, and I've worked with guys like that that take a drink at the exact same time they did 8 years ago because they know it works. And and people come out and they say, I brought some friends from work. So glad you did that bit about such and such. And it's like,
right.
Okay. And that's that person's deal. And that's what does it for them. I think for the three of us, I can speak for all of us where we can't, I mean, you can physically.
I can't remember those jokes.
It's that, but you can physically see us almost getting ill if we have to do a joke off an earlier album for longer than it takes to replace it.
Right, right. And I'm willing to, and I will say this, as I've said it 1,000 times, I'm willing to go to the vault if things are getting ugly.
Sure.
But I, and there are jokes from the back of the day that I still love, that those are my vault jokes, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that I will continue to do. And some weird joke has just come back into my, from, I think it's from Hero, and it's just some throwaway line because I'm working on new. I told my dad, you cannot die. I need like 20 more minutes. And
if your dad dies on the same day Chad's kid graduates, you guys are just gonna have to fucking
oh shit
Thelma and Louise
oh,
a car off a cliff.
Yeah, some guy asked me one time about 1,000 years ago. He goes, "You still doing jokes about your dad?" And I was like, "Yeah," and hilariously, I think it was Hero. My dad was like, "Is there any stuff about me on there?" And I was like, "Yeah, about 20 minutes." He goes, "You know, if it ever gets to be more than 20 minutes, that's no longer your album. That's my album."
Yeah, I'm glad no one in my life feels that way. Because I just have like a couch fund for when my kids are go to therapy. you know, it's great. So Sai, sometimes you go back and you sit and you walk and stuff like that. But I know when you have something I'm going to laugh at very hard, because you'll get up off your table and walk towards the camera like a Beastie Boy whose turn it is to talk in the video. You have this look in your eye where you're walking right towards your laptop, and I'm just like, oh, here we go. I'm about to get fucking roasted.
Well, I gotta take joy in the few moments of joy, my friend.
It's absolutely wonderful. I have this anticipatory like tingle. Here it comes. I love it very much. Okay, so we have a guest, Jackie. You sent us a list of stories.
Sure.
And this is a great list because it is, I can read the stories and not ruin any of them because they're very
vague. Right, there's no.
So I'm just going to go. Yeah. Here's your list. I'm going to just read it out loud. Best heckler story, worst heckler story, Scott Hansen, any story about my dad.
That's four, right?
Yep. So how about you start with the best heckler story?
Best heckler story. Okay. Yeah. I'm glad I bookended it that way. So it's 1986.
No, it is not. Are you
in this story?
Are you a child watching the best?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. I think I'm 21. Yeah. So the club's burned down in Madison. So me and the comics are four-walling it. We're doing like weird, like Best Western-y kind of, you know, just a one-nighter, right?
Sure.
And so one of the comics, I think it was Eric, whatever. Nobody knows any of these people. So, you know, Eric. And he sets up this show. What we'd call now a showcase night.
Okay.
And then he was going to close. So there's only seven of us that have been doing stand-up.
Okay, so what's going to happen is, for those people that don't know, showcase just means six people are going to do the same amount of time their best material. Like, they're almost like they're trying to get on television with this set. And then someone else is going to go do, someone else is going to go do a longer set to close the show so it feels like what people have, are accustomed to. Yes, Zach.
And for context, Jackie came up at our home club, Acme, but she started in Madison.
This is
you were living in Madison. They had a great club there, burned down. You were in the aftermath of that when you're starting stand up.
Everything, but they had a great club there. Yeah. So
you know who I heard burned it down? Eric.
Eric was owned by Sam Kinison's brother, Bill Kinison. And when it burned down, literally we all looked at each other and go, oh, I hope it was insured. And then we laughed and laughed. Okay. And so we're out in the middle of, we're out in the Beltway around Madison at either a dive bar attached to a hotel. That's what I think it was. I go up, I do my 10 minutes. Eric's friends are yelling stuff from the way back at me.
Sure.
Eric has mostly filled this room. There's a table in the back that's just like, whatever. And whatever they're yelling. In the second row are two dudes who are hammered and are joining in a little bit, right? So I do what I can. Very, very new, dealing with my heckler stuff, you know. Go, I don't come jump on the bed when you're working, whatever the fuck I say, right? And I get off stage. And I walk by the two drunk guys. One of the guys that's drunk is now passed out. He's like head down on the table, drunk. The other guy keeps talking to me as I walk by. Now, Steve's on stage, and Steve was a dick at this point. He's a much better person now. But anyway, I walk by, and this guy is still heckling me, and I'm in the audience. And I walk past him, and I walk to the bar, and this guy's still yelling at me. And Steve is like, hey, man, I'm on stage. You're supposed to heckle me now. But he cannot get him to do it. And so I go up to the bar. I'm mad because my 10 minutes did not go well. I did not enjoy that. So I order a beer, and I get a mug of beer, and I'm sitting there just fuming. And the heckler comes and stands behind me at the bar. Wow. And I make a very mature decision. Chad and Cy, which is, if this guy talks to me one more fucking time, I'm going to throw my beer at him. He does not. Instead, I am told by the bouncer and the bartender that they both saw him do this. He was reaching over my shoulder to grab my boob.
Oh.
This, by the way, is something you got to ask. And so so I turned and I felt him touch my shoulder. Yep. shoulder. And I turned around, threw my beard at him, missing him completely. Hitting the guy behind him full in the face.
Yes.
Right at the bar right there. The heckler at that point picks up that guy's drink, throws it at me. And I punched him.
Whoa.
Wow.
With the mug of beer.
So glass
forgot
first.
That I was holding the glass. Punched him with the glass, knocked him down. Yeah. He's like 6 foot.
Yes.
He jumps to his feet. This is where, at no time, by the way, am I the hero of this story, because he jumps
disagree.
To his feet.
Disagree. <Yeah. laughs> I think you're already so far.
And he yells, I should hit you back, you fucking dyke. And then I yell back, you got a problem with homosexuality, faggot? And then we were both escorted out of the bar. And we never dated because it wasn't a romantic comedy, you guys. So that is that story. Here, there is an epilogue.
Oh, thank God.
3 years later, 99 or 89, I'm doing the road with a guitar comic whose name I can't remember. But a guy from Wisconsin, I'm featuring, we're driving, he's driving. We're driving in the car. We start telling each other heckler stories. He tells me my heckler story. He tells me that story. He was the guy who got hit by the drink.
No.
Really?
Yeah. We had to pull, remember 1989, we had to find a payphone so that he could call his wife and then I could call my sister, and we could both tell, like, oh, my God, I'm with the guy. And she's like, remember that story I told you about that woman? And
so did you have to buy him a drink because the heckler grabbed his drink and threw it?
You know what? That, except for I was featuring, so no, I couldn't afford it.
That is so fantastic. A couple things. Number one, you said a word in that story that I'm assuming you don't use anymore.
No. No, I do not.
Yeah, and but the idea that you would say, ask that question and end it with that word makes,
it's so weird,
everyone's
right?
brain tingle. No matter what side of the political spectrum you are on, it everyone's brain just tingled. That was fascinating.
And in 89, and as you know, until probably 99 or 2009, that word was a punchline. Right?
Yeah, you could, I mean.
You could, everyone said that word, and whether you used it using your powers for good or using your powers for evil, that word was said a lot. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy who walked out of Acme, I think it was, because the headliner used the word, and he was gay, and he said, oh, is that the new N-word? Because I can't stay anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it was Derek was like, get out.
I will tell you, in 2021, I recorded an album, and I used that word on it, in 2021. So this just happened. I was impersonating a father that no one wants to be, but I did use it.
Right.
And so I have a story. I'm not even involved in this really, other than it was my birthday. I was in Bemidji, Minnesota, doing. So here's what would happen. They would have.
Did you get bumped up? Were you upgraded? Did you go to Bemidji? Anyway.
Oh, rubbing my roots in my face. Okay. So I'm in Bemidji, Minnesota, and what they would do a lot of times is they would have, like you said, a bar in a hotel, but they would name it something for the comedy night, like Laughing Up North or something. And so I was there on my birthday. I invited a couple high school friends that were in the area. I had a very good friend working with me. It was fantastic. We're so drunk after the show. And one of my high school buddies, Tony, same guy that got his nipple rubbed off, have he wiped out on a skateboard.
Yep.
That's right. We call him Starfish Tony because his nipple grew back. And so
his nipple. Well, okay.
Yeah.
All right. We could talk later.
His nipple grew back. He has two nipples. At one time he didn't. It was just a scab. And so Tony was up there, and he was a teacher at a very small school, pretty close. And so we're drinking on my birthday, having a great time, where I order shots of tequila, and Tony's too drunk. He can't do it. So he, instead of doing it, he does the whole motion but throws it over his shoulder. And hits the mother of one of his students right in the face with a shot of tequila. We didn't even know she was there until it happened. And she goes, Mr. So-and-so. I don't want to use his last name, but Mr. So-and-so. And he was like, oh, hey, it was so great. Oh, my God. I can't believe that.
Oh, my God.
That you punched a guy with a mug. That's amazing. And I just
I wasn't arrested. Yes.
Yeah. I, you know what? I think that there used to be, you know how there are like steadfast rules now? If you punch someone with a mug, you get arrested in 2021. Back when you were talking about this in 86, you'd punch someone with a mug. The people of the bar would go, we did see him going for her breast. So case dismissed. And then no one got in trouble.
Right. It was, you know, it saved a lot of money in the legal system.
Yeah. I mean, hardly any law libraries have been built at that point because there were no fines for it.
Well, I was just going to say, it is for sure a deadly weapon. Not a deadly weapon,
if I were stronger.
If in today's day and age.
if I beat a guy to death with a beer mug, it could be done.
That would be known as bludgeoning.
Like, if I hit Chad in the face with a beer mug in a bar, you could get some pretty serious attempted charges. I think you're right about that. Why am I breaking down the legality of this? This was such a fun story.
First of all, I wouldn't even.
I am.
I wouldn't even press charges. I'd just make you drink with me one time.
Nobody wants that.
I'm kidding.
There's not. Can you imagine if I drank? Nobody wants that.
What's in this? Just drink it.
Yeah. Hey, is this a mug of water? No, it's his tears. Let's keep moving.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, so that best heckler story. Now I'd like to get to worst heckler story, because this seems like they were combined.
They aren't. So we're talking 2019.
Oh, boy.
I know that is 2 years ago.
That is 2 years ago, right before lockdown. Zany's Rosemont.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Frosemont, I call it.
If I never work that again, unless they offer it to me, I'll be happy. What? So a lot of things in that sentence. Yeah. Why don't you unpack it in your free time? Here's what happened. For some reason, Zany's is doing a split week right now, where you do 2 days downtown and 2 days or 2 or 3 days in Rosemont, sure, or 3 days downtown. And you're like, just keep me downtown. Don't do this to me. What are you doing?
Yeah. I don't need to travel within a travel week.
Right. Right. And change hotels. Why don't you jump off a cliff?
Are you sending me out on the road while I'm on the road? How does that work?
And so it was Rosemont seats, maybe 200. And a woman, it's her birthday, mm-hmm, and she wants to sit in the front row. And so she buys VIP tickets with her boyfriend, husband, dad, whatever it is. He looks like Leonid Brezhnev. She is wearing a MAGA hat, red hat, Make America, mm-hmm, Great. And she wants to do this, and she doesn't. We find out later she doesn't know who I am. She just knows, she looked at my Twitter feed, or she saw that I wasn't a sociopath Nazi. And she's like, I want to go heckle someone who might be liberal. So she comes and sits in the front row of Zany's Rosemont. The manager is new. He lets her. Mm-hmm. I was like, this isn't good. What is this? It isn't a political rally. Why is she wearing political shit? I don't want a Bernie bro t-shirt in the front row either. Yeah. I don't want to have to talk to the audience. I have written jokes. Uh-huh. Why do I have to address that you're wearing, that your nipple is out? Why? I don't want any.
Can you imagine a worse comedy situation? You're like, what do you do for a job? I'm actually a big Newt Gingrich supporter. It's not what I asked. That's not what you're here for.
Not what I'm looking for. It's Karl Rove's my dad. Shut up. I don't, you
Can
know.
Can we talk John like, Edwards policy ideas?
Do you guys remember the work? Anyway, she's the MC of the feature, trying to defuse it. It just escalates it. I get up. She will not. She's heckling me, but whisper heckling me so nobody else can hear her.
Oh, good.
She's literally like calling me fat, telling me that, do you like my hat? Do you like my hat? You're not funny. You're the worst. Are you? And literally like, I have an inner dialogue doing that. I don't need some shitbag 60-year-old woman doing it to me. And Brezhnev silent next to me. And there's also a corporate there, 40 to 60 people whose kids played basketball. This is their night out.
Okay.
And I'm trying to deal with her. There's a guy, one of the dad coaches is trying to coach me through this. Just ignore her. And I'm like, I don't know if you understand what I'm doing here, but I can't ignore her because I can't think. It's like someone doing this while you try to tell a joke, right? So I have to address this thing, and I was like, you can leave. And I tried I was so mad.
Sure.
That I don't think I tried the thing that works sometimes. And if I never work this kind of gig again, it was a casino where I actually fell to my knees, made the sign of the cross, and prayed these two dudes out of the room. And I should have done that because it actually might have worked. But instead,
you would have became her favorite comic is all.
Maybe she would have bought some merch.
Yeah.
Anyway, but this is the second time I've put hands on somebody, by the way. This is because it ends poorly. So I say, hey, I have to do my 45 minutes or they won't pay me. And this is, by the way, the second show of the week. This is Thursday.
Oh, fun.
There's six Friday, Saturday. Yeah, there's five more shows. There's three shows on Saturday downtown. And but I'm moving to the downtown I think it was Wednesday. Whatever. I had to come back the next night to Rosemont, and then I had to go do five shows in downtown. Mm-hmm. So I had six more shows that week. And so there's eight shows, this fucking thing. So I get off stage. I go into the – I walk the parents. All the parents leave at one point. The dad – is attached to 30 other people. They all fuck off. He's like, you aren't ignoring her. You have to ignore her. We're leaving. And I was like, you got to leave. I got to do my time. This is a terrible evening. Go. And so they go. I go into the green room when it's all over. I sit there for 10 minutes. I'm like, somebody get me a Diet Coke cranberry. Anyway. 10 minutes later, the security guard, by the way, who has been nowhere for this entire show, comes in and he goes, hey, people want to buy your merch. It's all set up. And I was like, yeah, is that couple gone? And he goes, no, they're still there. And I was like, all right, well, maybe. And this is 10 minutes. I should have not gone out at all.
Sure.
So I go out, security guy's standing there, and I'm trying to sell some merch, and the woman with the hat is standing this close to me, like the hat's almost touching my head.
It looks like your brim almost.
Yeah. Right. She's got the brim right, and she's like, did you have fun? Was that good? Did you have a good time? Wasn't
what
it fun?
Fuck?
Psycho.
Yeah.
And Brezhnev is silently looming next to her. And I am genuinely terrified because these fucks are armed. These are, and the, you know, when I walked the people is when I literally said to the woman, how long have you been a Nazi? And she said, forever. And I said, well, then you can get the fuck out, cunt. So anyway, everyone who thinks that I'm super nice should hear these two stories, by the way. Anyway, because I'm not a horrible person, but I'm also, I will not suffer.
Well, yeah,
your bullshit.
There's a limit.
If you just tell these to Lewis, maybe you could get a decent fucking opener at Acme.
Right, if I get someone who knows the job, why do I have to? No, anyway. So, the security guard is doing nothing. Mm-hmm. So somebody taps her on the shoulder, one of my fans, and bleeds her off. And I'm like, thank you, God, whoever the hell that was. Brezhnev then starts crowding me against the wall.
Man, what's happening here?
Well, I push him.
Yeah.
Sure.
And as soon as I put hands on him, security guy comes over.
Well, you got to protect that guy. And you shouldn't have shoved him.
I guess not. And I literally, I was like, I get a red card myself. I'm going to take myself back into the, into the green room. And then he comes back 15 minutes later and goes, there's still people who want to buy stuff.
I always love when security guards come, they'll come in the green room and they'll say, hey, do you have a special code if you want someone removed? And I go, yes. My code is, hey, bouncer, come get this person and take them out of the room. Because I will be,
take him away.
I'll be very specific. I'll say, this person needs to leave. Other people with them can stay if they're having fun, or they can choose to leave as well. But this one person has to leave because there are other people that I want to entertain, and that's not going to happen while this person is in the room. So I explain it just like that into the microphone. Everybody knows what's happening.
There's no mystery.
And if there's whispering, I go, I know a lot of you can't hear it because this person's noise is not amplified like mine, but it is non-fucking stop, and I am done with it. I mean, I just kind of break down the fourth wall and go, here's what needs to happen before the show continues.
That exact emotion is what got me into trouble in Madison at Comedy Club on State, because anyone who has gotten to come up there, like I emceed there, featured there, and then headlined there, they have one of the most wonderful ownership groups, let's call it the ownership family, and crews, like staff. They're all so fun, but they fuck with you every minute of every day. It's like it's that kind of fun fuck with you environment. Whenever Joe used to sign my, he would give me a card with the check in it, and would also always say something like horrible and mean inside it, like, "Hey, great week," and then the meanest thing anybody could say to me, and very funny. So I was used to that like banter style. And Chad, I'm like you. If anybody's like, "What do you want me to do about the hecklers?" I'm like, you know, don't let it stop it. That's what your job. You make it stop. And there was a new guy there that I thought had apparently been working there. And, you know, I'm getting on the elevator. Mike Cronin's with me because you take the elevator up to the green room. And he's like kind of grabbing us as we go. He's like, "Hey, if people are trying to talk to you during the show, do you like want to let that happen or something?" And I just, as the elevator doors are closing, I just looked him in the face and I went, "Is that a real question?" And then the doors shut. And I didn't see him the rest of the weekend. And then I found out, like, that guy hadn't been there. He wasn't fucking with me. And I just was, like, the biggest ass. So I caught this huge asshole reputation there for a while. And it was just... I'm the same way where it's like, yeah, just make him stop. I didn't mean to be mean to that dude, but...
And I fueled that reputation every time I went back. I go, "Sai's still talking about the idiots you guys hired," so...
I felt so bad because I think he was a dude who just loved working at a comedy club. And I don't think he'd been there a long time. And I just elevator villained him like the biggest asshole in the world. I might as well have then opened the elevator doors and drove off in an IROC, you know, like fingering some girl. "Yeah, you're never going to be like me," like some piece of shit.
All right.
All right.
Scott Hansen.
Oh, so,
by the way, no relation to Evan Hansen, dear Evan Hansen. Oh yeah, I can see your scar.
Oh my god! Except for
I can see a scar on your left index finger.
That's it. It's also right there.
Oh.
Every story is me. Violence. Interesting. Well, you asked for comedy stories. You know, I always tell these stories, and I think they're funny, and people are like, "What?" Anyway, I'm like, I live. Get off my areola, as Janelle Monáe would say. And again, in my 50s. So here's the thing. It's 1992, and me and Ken Bradley and the Stage Benders and a bunch of people it's my first audition for anything Hollywood, anything showbiz. Okay. And it's for MTV, and nothing has set MTV more since 1984 when I started doing stand-up comedy than Jackie Cation. So but it's my first audition, and I'm really looking forward to it, and Scott Hansen is a button pushing maniacal, just a maniac.
Was
so right, he's dead. Yeah, I didn't kill
he's
him
passed.
We can't believe he lived this long, but whatever it is, so before the show begins at the Comedy Gallery on the river, that one, I forget, St. Anthony, Maine. Mm-hmm. He owns 5 clubs at this point.
Yep.
And St. Anthony, Maine is on the river, and he likes to do karaoke before the show, and one of the comics hosts it. But it's always a comic who's not going up. It's just extra stage time. Essentially, you get to riff a little bit, and you get to die a little bit inside. So he asked me if I want to host it. And I'm like, "Scott, I'm in this one." And he's like, "I know, but don't you need $20? And I was like, "Yeah, I do. I do need $20. So I will host it until you start seating, and then I'm not going to do it." And he's like, "Okay." So I'm in my head. I'm freaking out about what my set's going to be and what this is going to do for my career. I've blown it out of proportion, as you do when you're new and it's your first audition. You think this is going to either matter or you're going to fuck it up, and so it's going to matter even more. And so finally I'm upstairs, sort of, there's a green room. there's an Scott's office across from each other, and there's comics just pacing like caged animals, right? Like we do. And Ken Bradley, who probably doesn't remember this, I just saw him again, but he starts talking to me. And at the time, Ken Bradley's act, he would take his hair and glue it straight up in the air. Sure. He was wacky. Uh-huh. And the writing was good, but he also had wacky hair. So he wants to talk to me. He's like, "Where were you? You just got here." And I was like, "I was downstairs doing karaoke." He's like, "Did you want to do that? What? Why were you doing that?" And I was like, "He's going to give me $20. Anyway, so, and I was like, I got to look at my set list. I can't talk to you right now. I think I'm up early." And he goes, "So what was it? Why did he ask you to do that?" And so he's still talking to me. And so I walk into Scott's office and I turn around and I punch the wall. I've had some help with anger management since the early 90s, you guys. I would say right around 98, I decided to be an adult. Anyway, so I punched the wall. I punched a frame poster of a John Wayne movie. And always frame with glass, by the way. It cuts down on the glare. Uh-huh. But when it all falls on your hand, a shard fell right into my finger. Other shards all over my hand. Ken goes, "Oh shit," and he's gone. And everybody hears it. There's I don't know who comes, but whatever it is, my hand is bleeding. I grab a Comedy Gallery t-shirt, wrap it around my hand, and I go into the bathroom to rinse off what's there, and I can see the bone.
Ah, fun.
Ooh, bummer.
And but the good news is it went in between tendons.
Yeah, that's so I can see finger. You. Yeah, moving your finger, it works absolutely perfectly.
I can move my finger; it's all very exciting. Anyway, but I wrap my hand in this t-shirt and I go up to whoever's hosting and I was like, "Can I go up next and then go to the hospital?" And Kim from the Stage Benders or whoever it was goes, "No, you're not going up at all. You're just going to the hospital." And so, Kim from the Stage Benders drove me in his like 83 Ford Escort. And he was so great because he talked me through it because I was like, "I think I'm bleeding to death." And he was like, "No, you have a lot of blood."
The Stage Benders are fantastic.
They are enormously nice men. Yes. And their act is hilarious. It's just, and it's, you know, ostensibly, it's like the Sklar Brothers. It's, you think it's improv, but it's some improv, but it's mostly scripted.
Yeah, but we talk about two acts that are absolutely incredible. You know, so three stories so far.
There you go.
You've punched someone with a mug. You've two-handed pushed someone. And then you're sick of hurting others, so you punched a poster.
Right.
I also like how each of your stories starts like, I can't remember what the rap song is, but you start them each with a date like, "It's 1989 was the number." Like,
it's, yeah, I'm, it turns out I am KRS-One. A lot of people don't know this about me.
There we go. KRS-One. Thank you.
Well, neither CD White, but, oh my God. I picture, first of all, how intuitive of you to know you did need that $20. For your copay, or probably, who knows if you had insurance.
No, Scott paid it.
You're kidding. That's great.
I know. Hard to believe. But I think they clubs know that there can be litigation and there can be.
Interesting. Yeah. It would be funny to watch you on the stand going, "I would like some money from this man because I punched his poster."
Yeah. And he literally just kept winding me up and winding me up. And he's like, "All right." And I think I lied and said that I did this.
Oh.
Instead of turning around and doing that.
Sure.
Yeah.
All of these stories are going to be slightly fixed so I'm better.
Every time. Nope. We're going to make you worse. We're leaving out the fun parts. Every time you turn around to throw a punch to show us how you did it, it looks like you really do know how to throw a punch.
Yeah.
That is really great.
Yeah.
I have four older brothers, and my mother used to beat the shit out of us. So I learned from a very early age how to throw a punch. And by the way, take one. You guys want to play? Let's do this.
Sure don't.
I honestly think that story about your mother just now is going to help you in your court case after this episode comes out. So that was smart.
Right. The every time I punch somebody, there should have been a poster with the word no on it.
I love how you're just, they see you talking to a poster and you're like, you know how when it's a close game with the Lakers and, oh, she's gone crazy. And you just turn around and go, yeah, have you ever fucking hosted karaoke? Yeah, I'm crazy.
Oh my God. When I look back on the karaoke hosting, I don't miss the Westward Ho gig as much.
Yeah, it was brutal, especially because you were just older than these fraternity guys and sorority gals that paid their bills with their parents' credit cards. And they had no one to wrangle them. And so it was just basically, I mean, I've been to
anyone not having any money.
Yeah, it was incredible. It's just like, yuck, yuck, yuck. Okay, I was going to say a bunch of other shit, but I'm leaving it right there. I would like to hear any story about your dad.
This is my current favorite story about my dad.
Okay.
My dad was in the Marines, right? But he wasn't really, because he was in the Navy and he was a medic. And then the Marines get their medics from the Navy. As my father likes to say, did you know that? I did not know that. And so he was like, so I spent 6 years hanging out with Marines. Those guys are tough, good guys. I like those guys. But I was not. Anyway, and this story comes up because several people in the last couple of years have told me that I, Jackie Cation, should get a gun. I think we've established that I shouldn't get a gun.
Yeah. I don't think so either.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. No gun, Cation.
Hey,
yeah, you're right.
Hey, Jackie, was that fun for you? Did you enjoy that a little bit? How'd you like that? Was that good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if you had a gun, you'd be in the midst of tracking down whoever sent you that email right now.
Right. The main reason I shouldn't get a gun is how much I want a gun.
You're just knocking on a door with the gun going, getting good, motherfucker? Come outside. Getting good?
And that's the tough thing. That's the tough thing with guns, not to derail this, but all these people were like, guns are the worst. And you're like, yeah, technically, but also, have you shot a gun? It's so much fun. Guns
cool.
are so fun. They're so crazy. Like, I also shouldn't have a gun, for sure. I shouldn't.
Right. And we always purchased our meat, right? Like, I come from salespeople. I don't come from hunting people. So, but my dad did one time have a gun because I also come from gambling people.
Oh.
My dad, huge gambler. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't good at it. He was okay at it. And people are like, well, that's kind of cool. And I'm like, no, I always wanted a bike. So,
did he ever come home after a rough day of gambling with a can of chicken chow mein?
Nope.
Okay.
Or a dog. And he had this whole thing. So one day, some of the conversations with my dad happen because we're the only ones. I'm the youngest of six, right?
Okay.
So he came home and I was eight. And there was no one else there. So he had to talk to me. And he was excited because he had just bought a gun. Because he had been accepted to be – he was going to get to play in this poker game. That to play in the game, you had to have a gun.
What?
Because there was so much money that they wanted to make sure everybody could defend the pot or something. I don't know.
I just want to be clear. This is in Wisconsin, not South Dakota, correct?
Right.
Okay.
This is in a little factory town outside of Milwaukee.
When Jackie punched that John Wayne poster, she just traveled back in time and grew up in one of his movies.
Yeah, exactly. So what happened was he was like, hey, so I got accepted to be in this game, but I had to buy a gun. Do you want to see it? And I was like, yes, I'm eight. Children love guns. And so we go to his trunk and open it up. And in there is a box with Derringers, two pearl handled matching Derringers.
Wow.
And I was like, are they guns? And he's like, yeah, they're collector's items, but they're if I fire them, they lose all their value, but they are guns. And I was like,
imagine that being the decision in a fight where you're like, listen, I hate you and I want you to die, but I don't want these to lose their value.
Oh, and we know where Elliot Cation lies, because he's not a hitter. He's not a gun guy. He's not any of that. He is. So I said, I wish I had said, are you bringing a keychain to a gunfight? Anyway, I did not say that. I said, well, do they count as a gun? And he goes, yeah, they count. And I said, but what happens if someone does try to rob the game, what will you do? And he goes, I don't need a gun. Everyone else has a gun, which really sums up my father's experience of the U.S. Marine Corps. He's like, I don't need a gun. I'm the guy who's going to deliver babies and help people with their car accidents, which is what he did when he was in the Marines. He delivered babies and helped with car accidents.
How long ago is this? Who's babies?
They were he was in the Marines. He was a Navy medic in between Korea and Vietnam. And literally when I was a kid said, yeah, we heard about Vietnam, and I was due to re-up, and I was like, nope, I'm going to go home.
Yeah.
He was stationed the entire time in California. He loved it here. He said at one point they were going to put him on a ship, and he was like, you put me on a ship, I am definitely not reenlisting. And I was like, you joined the Navy, Dad. He was like, yeah, I like a little ship on a, you know, like on a lake in Wisconsin, not on the lake, but on a little lake. Uh-huh. He was like, I don't need any of that. And the weird thing about the gun thing, that's the other story, is that my dad does not remember this story. Is I was super depressed in my 30s, I think. And I ended up talking to him. He was the only one who was around for some reason. And I was like, I don't feel good. I just don't feel good. He goes, yeah, yeah. In your 20s and 30s, everybody wants to kill themselves. And I was like, how is that helpful? And he's like, why don't you hear me out? And he's like, in your 20s and 30s, you kind of want to kill yourself. In your 40s and 50s, you don't want to kill yourself anymore. You just want to die because you don't want to finish the thing, right? And he's like, but here's the thing. If you can make it to 60, it's good.
He's like, 20s and 30s, everyone wants to kill themselves. But hey, anything but the new guns.
Right. But that's why you don't own a gun.
You can't fire them.
But don't use the derringers. No, I asked him if he still had them. He was like, oh, no, I lost them in a game. I think he put them up.
Yeah. Hey, money on the table plays, gentlemen.
And he's like, I'm out of money. Does anyone want my guns? Anyway, so I think it's how.
Jackie Cation, I have to tell you something. When I just texted you last minute last night thinking about your new album coming out and thinking our listeners deserve awesomeness, I was so glad you said yes. I'm so glad we made it work. Your new album, Staycation, is out anywhere right now. You can also watch it. But what we could do is if you have a listener service in any of the, like Pandora, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, any of those things, give it a listen. Let's keep Staycation. It's at number one right now. Let's keep it at number one.
That's hilarious. And I am so psyched. Thank you so much. It's wherever you can watch 12th Night, you could also watch Staycation because it's on it's on the 800-pound gorilla on YouTube. Yeah.
Absolutely. You can also then watch or listen to Corset.
Yeah, Corset. Which is
I refuse to pronounce it correctly.
Why'd you do with that with the syllable? It's a corset. So it's Lori Kilmartin's new album, came out like 2 weeks ago, and it's called Corset because between her old mom and her young son, she's being squeezed to death, and then everybody died. So it's okay. The new album will be much darker.
It's fantastic. Corset. That's how you say it.
I've held my plug of you to the end because Chad was really I think he did a good job of elevating who you are and your things. But I'm going to add to it by saying everybody knows there's a few people, like the Bill Burrs, you know, the people of that level that have all the specials and they sell at theaters and all that stuff. And then I think there's this handful of comics that a lot of people know, but if you see them in a club, it'll be the best comedy show you see all year, whether you go see Burr, Segura, it doesn't matter. I am lucky enough to be friends with and do a podcast with one of those guys, and I don't think there's a lot of them. Tommy Jonigan, Mike Winfield. Jackie, you're right on the top of that list for me.
Maria Bamford, Aaron Foley.
Well, people know Maria. You know, Maria's got a Netflix special, you know.
Oh, right. But so does Segura. So does Bill Burr has 1,000 of
them,
right?
I'm putting her with them. Like, I'm putting the comp.
Oh,
the
you're
compliment,
putting.
I've done a really bad job here.
Allow me to undo whatever compliment. Let's talk about other comics and how much we love them.
The compliment I'm giving is.
How about thank you?
You go see Bill Burr or Maria. You think it's going to be the best show you see of the year. You see somebody like Jackie, Chad, Tommy. They're always the best show. I leave those shows wanting to be better at stand-up. So I fucking love watching you, Jackie. And so anybody,
thanks,
what's the
man.
Instagram where they can get your tour dates? Because if she's anywhere near your city and you don't come to see her, you're a fucking
it's
idiot.
It's at Jackie Cation. I made the mistake of making a fake T-shirt. And everyone's like, I want that T-shirt.
Yeah, I saw it.
And I was like, yeah, that's not actually. Okay.
I don't know why I had to compare you guys to super famous people, but my point was whenever anybody's like, my favorite comedian is Dimitri Martin, you're like, well, you should see these guys because they're the best comedians in America. So
yeah, if you like Dimitri Martin, you're going to love blah, blah, blah.
Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah. So, Jackie, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate
it. Thanks for having
me. Great to see you. And, Cy, I think I know why you stumbled through the compliment. Bitch, you pregnant. I got to go.
Hey, if you guys like this, there will be a new episode next Monday and every single Monday at 8 a.m. So click the subscribe button so your phone sends it to you without having to do any work.
You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.